Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all here this morning on this rainy morning. It's supposed to rain all day today. They're calling for a chance of flash flooding, and it's kind of crazy, right? Well, one thing we can be secure in is we know we don't have to build an ark because God promised never to end the earth that way again. So we're good. We can be secure in that. We're going to talk about a little bit about security today because security is one of the things that roots our relationship with God and with people. So we're going to be talking about that just a little bit. So if you've been with us, you know that we're in our series, Get Out of Your Shell. And our little turtle friend has been helping us to remember that it's okay to get out of the shell that protects us and get out and do what God's called us to do. And we've been talking about that in terms of sharing our faith, right? So how many of you feel ready to do this or have done this more than once over the last couple weeks? How many of you feel ready to do this or have done this more than once? Okay, some of you, yep, hands in the air. Cool. All right, good. Well, we're going to wrap up the series today, so I hope you got your hands around it. If not, you're going to have to go back and listen to these messages and practice because we're going to try and add to your confidence today. In fact, we're going to hope to solidify that confidence a little bit more, giving you a couple more tools to add to your repertoire in sharing the good news of the gospel. And we know that that is grace towards the world, right? So remember, all of our messages are recorded. So if you're with us here today, you're just listening for the first time, you can go back and listen to this whole series and just grasp some of the concepts that have been in them. Maybe you have a Christian friend who says, I could never share my faith, right? And you could share this message with them or the messages, this series with them. And we hope that it encourages them to go and do that. Because this isn't just about our church. It's about the kingdom of God and spreading the good news of Jesus to all. Because that's what he's called us to do. So we're going to look at sharing the gospel today from just a slightly different angle. By the end of today, we will have three C's as to why we should be sharing the gospel that link all the messages in the series together. So hold on for that, okay? To prepare for today's message, I want you to ponder for a moment the existence of something that when you saw it, without a doubt, you knew it came. You came to a clear and concise conclusion about the origin from which it came, okay? In fact, once you have that thing in mind, would you agree that now it would be hard to deny where it comes from? Okay? Well, everything we see has roots somewhere. Some of us can see a car and immediately know the manufacturer just based on the body style, or some even by the sound, right?
67 Chevy.
There you go. See what I mean? there's always one in the there. So others could see a purse and a design on it, and they would know who made it or even the cost. Now, if anybody in the room knows this, I'm going to be a little shocked. But this is a Prada purse and quilted Prada purse. And the cost on this purse is $3,000. So some of you probably wouldn't know that. But still others could see an egg and quickly identify the bird from which it came. Actually, no, close. Robin eggs have little speckles on them. Yeah, but this is actually a bluebird egg that's on the screen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there you go. But the list could go on and on because all of these things have distinct characteristics that link them specifically with where they've come from. This is true throughout all of creation. It's hard to deny the reality that we are simply here by accident or by some form of evolution. Some people believe that, really, that we're here by accident or some form of evolution. But when we look at the complex system holding the cosmos together, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe we were created by a loving God. But what purpose would a loving God have in creating all this? Is creation created simply just to amuse him? I mean, are we for his amusement? Did he create all this world as some kind of experiment? Or did God always have a grander plan in mind that we get to play a part in? I'm going for the last one, right? And as we've been discussing this topic of getting out of our shell, think about the subject of each of our messages. Start with last week. If we believe God is all-powerful, sovereign over all, able to change the course of history, why then would he allow sin to enter into his perfect creation if he didn't have a plan? He could have stopped it in an instant. While you're thinking about that, go back to the first week and think about this question. For a God who could allow anyone to be used to tell his story, why did he choose us? why do we get to be part of this? The answer to both of these questions is found in our message today. Because God uses creation to tell his compelling message to the world, right? And this is why today's message is titled, You Don't Have to Yell. Get out of your shell, you don't have to yell. Because creation is compelled to tell the story of God. So God, we acknowledge this morning that this is what you've called us to tell your story. And that we don't really need to scream at the top of our lungs for anyone to hear it. But simply be confident and secure in the message, in the truth that you've given us. So as we unpack this message this morning, I pray that each heart in this room would be solidified in the decision to share the good news, the gospel, the grace of you to the world. That would be a desire rooted high in the priorities of our life. And would you solidify our desire to do that this morning? And maybe one of the ways that we've talked about, you would just get that rooted so deeply in there that we would be compelled to use it over and over, because your good news is the best news anybody can hear. So give us that this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're gonna unpack how God planned this from the beginning in our message today, right? And how he used creation to communicate his message all along. Now, some of what we're going to recover today is going to be a repeat from other weeks, because you just can't tell this story without repeating certain factors of it. It's just part of what God wants to tell us. So the first part, again, is God created us to be with him. That's our first part of our message this morning. God created us to be with him. He didn't just make creation just to make creation. He made creation to be in relationship with him, right? Genesis 1 is the beginning of God's design and his desire. In the beginning, God created all things, including our existence and our relationship with him. Think about what happened in the garden. God didn't just simply go, plop, Adam, see you later. No. He said, plop, Adam, here, maintain what I've created. Maintain, manage my creation, and I'm going to walk with you in this creation. Genesis 3:8, there's evidence of that. Because if you remember, after Adam and Eve had sinned, they were hiding, right? They were afraid because they heard God walking in the garden. Well, he must have come down more than once. That wasn't the first time he was walking in the garden, and they were hiding from him when he was there. So they had this relationship with him. So prior to this, God tells us about another thing that entered into creation, which caused the broken relationship between God and mankind. Sin. Our sin separated us from God. Also, in Genesis 3, the result of sin. So even though we were created to be in relationship with God, he gave us free will and the ability to choose. No one has ever forced anyone to believe in Jesus. Think about that. No one has ever forced anyone to believe in Jesus. Has anybody in here had their arm twisted to believe in Jesus? I don't think so. It's a choice. However, there's a flip side to this. Throughout history, it's been quite the opposite. People have been threatened to not believe in Jesus. In fact, people have had their lives put on the line to say, if you'll denounce Christ, we'll let you live. Otherwise, you're going to die. One of the most common stories is the shooting in Columbine. Rachel Scott, right? Rachel Scott was standing before a guy who was an atheist who didn't believe in God. And he said, listen, if you'll denounce your faith, you'll live. If you won't denounce your faith, then you're going to die. And Rachel Scott stood her ground. Do you know that her testimony, though, has impacted so many lives? God has used that in a mighty way. She chose to not denounce her faith in her Creator, because it was firmly rooted in her heart. Despite the sin in the world that keeps us separated from God, she was able to step into a truth and stand for that truth based on Jesus. Some believe that if they do good deeds, though, they can work their way into heaven. That's what a lot of people believe. There's some religions that believe that. And to have a relationship with him, they can just do these good deeds. But sin cannot be removed by good deeds. There's no amount of good one person can do that God will look at and allow them in heaven. Now, there are religions out there that believe that you have scales. And the amount of good deeds should outweigh the amount of bad deeds. And if you have more good deeds than bad deeds, then you get to go in. That's not how God works. Buddhism and Islam are two of these religions that believe that if you live this good life, you'll be able to get into heaven. You're going to come across people who believe these things. There's more and more of them in our country today. So we have to be prepared to give them a testimony that, listen, God doesn't count your good deeds. Yes, faith, good deeds are evidence of your faith, but they don't get you into heaven. There is no qualifying good deed that will get you there. The Bible's clear about that. There's only one way into heaven. We're going to get to that in a minute. Now, as we're going through this thing, you can see we're working through the Bible. There's Genesis 1 in the top there. We were created to be with Him. Genesis 3, sin came into the equation, separated us from God. Now, sins cannot be removed by good deeds. If you look at Genesis through Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, if some of you know him by. If you look at Genesis through Habakkuk, you can see in the Bible that people tried to do this. They tried to live in this relationship with God by doing good deeds. It didn't work. And God kept punishing them and kept punishing them and kept punishing them to get them back into relationship with Him. But then something happened. Something stepped into history and changed it, because the price for sin was Jesus' death and resurrection. This is the only way to fix the broken relationship between man and God, through Jesus. God followed through on His promise throughout the Old Testament, that He wanted relationship with His creation. And Jesus was the only way that that would happen. And if you look at Matthew through Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that's where this unfolds. This story of Jesus coming to earth, paying the price, God's promise to the world. And then we get to the next part, which is everyone who trusts in Him has eternal life. Everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. And really, the nut of this is found in John. Not saying that John's a nut. It's just in there very concisely and clearly. And John communicates this message that everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. I mean, John's the one that tells us when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about anyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. And it's not limited to certain people. John tells us real clear that this message is to all, to everyone, to the world, not limited. And the result of this belief is life forever with Him. Life starts with Him and lasts forever. John 10:10 tells us what? That the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life. And life abundantly, life to the full, life extended, life forever, both here and in eternity. Come on. Amen. And that's recorded. Listen, if you take Acts to Revelation, and that's where the rest of that story is communicated, isn't it? We see the church blossoming and growing and the persecution that they faced. But we also see that life eternal is promised in that. And so if you follow this, we have another way to share the gospel with the word, or the acrostic gospel. And we're going to give credit to that from Greg Steer, because God created us to be with Him. Our sins separated us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. And everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. And life starts with Him and lasts forever. Now listen, it's just another way of sharing. Greg Steer's an evangelist, specifically to youth. That's what he does. But the guy, it's ingrained in him. I follow him on Facebook, and I'm constantly seeing the conversations he has with somebody on the plane or in a restaurant. You know, and he is sharing the gospel, and he lives by this. And listen, what he's doing is, by this acrostic, he's sharing the message of God throughout the Bible in a short, concise way. Right? There's Genesis. We get Genesis twice in there, with God created us. Then there's the sins that separate us from God. And then that Jesus came. We get to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus came, paid the price for our sins, died, and rose again. And then everybody can get that gift. Who trusts in him, in John. And then what happens? Living it out. Life starts with him. You get to live it out. And that's what we see in Acts and Revelation. The whole Bible in five, six words. Six words. Or six phrases. That's a pretty concise way of sharing the gospel, isn't it? Yeah, and we can do that. When people say, well, I don't even know what I'm here. What's my purpose? Well, God created you to be in relationship with him. If you're wandering around with no purpose, this is why. Because are you in relationship with him? Because anybody that's in relationship with God would know their purpose. Or should know their purpose. Or should be heading towards that purpose. Now, there's one more way we're going to cover on how to share the gospel today. But before we do, let's think about Paul, who we talked about a little bit last week, right? Why was Paul so adamant about sharing the gospel after his conversion? Have you thought about that? I mean, he was just adamant about sharing the gospel after his conversion. God made him sit for a few days with blinders on. But it wasn't long after that where he was out there. He was in the synagogue and he was preaching. And it wasn't long after that he was out in the world and he was preaching. Now why is the question? Why would he do that? Perhaps it was out of a realization of the tremendous grace Jesus extended him since he was the one persecuting his church. Maybe Paul was just motivated by that because he knew he deserved punishment for killing Christians. Even if the blood wasn't on his hands, literally, it was by pen. Because he signed their death warrants. Or maybe Paul was so adamant about sharing his faith out of fear. Because heaven opened up and knocked him off his horse. God spoke to him. I think if that happened to any of us, we might be a little bit adamant about sharing our faith. Maybe. Just a little bit. But maybe Paul was so motivated by the gospel because it reached even to him. It extended mercy to someone who deserved no mercy. Not only was it God's grace, but it was God's mercy that was extended to Paul. Or maybe it's this last one. Maybe it was out of obedience that he did this. Since God commanded him to do this, it was a directive for his life. Now, Paul is considered the great evangelist, right? On fire for Jesus. So my question to you is it likely that it was any one of these? Just one? Or is it because of all of these? He was motivated by all. When confronted with himself, Paul made a choice, didn't he? Yes. He made a choice. He dove in headfirst, giving his life to the mission, and everything he did centered around it. So here's the question that really needs answering. Not so much why Paul was adamant about sharing his faith. But the question that needs answering is our life any different than his? So what factors should motivate us to share the gospel? Is it one or all four of the factors? Should be all four. Paul told us in Romans 1 that he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And in this gospel, God is revealed. That's Romans 1, 16 through 17. We should not be ashamed, but proud that God would call us his children. We should be bold because of that. Empowered. We get to carry the message of the gospel to the world. That's exciting. Why? Because this message is the power of God. The gift of salvation through the life of Jesus. Something he didn't have to do, something he chose to do. That's powerful. That means he chose each one of us. When the Bible talks about being chosen by God, those predestined, he's talking about this whole plan way back when, for those who would believe. You were chosen in that. You were chosen in that Jesus came to earth. Anyone who believes in Jesus for salvation that he died on the cross for their sins and rose again. You are the elect. You are chosen of God. That's powerful. And the only way to receive this gospel, wow, is out of faith. We have to put faith in something that we've never seen. Has anybody seen Jesus physically? No. So we have to believe in something that's unseen by faith. We are saved. And that's the gift of God. That's the gift of God. The crazy thing about this is not one person, when they stand before God, will be able to say, I wasn't able to receive this gospel. Think about this. Okay? Not one person will be able to stand before God, and everybody's going to stand before God. Everybody. Not one person will not stand before the judgment seat. Or sit, or I don't know how that works out. But we all, both those in this room, those not in this room, those who have believed, those who have not believed, they will all stand before God on the judgment seat. And God's going to ask them to give an account. He's going to ask us to give an account. And for those of us who believed in Jesus, all we got to do is say, why should I let you in? Because Jesus died on the cross. There's nothing we could do to get in. It's through Jesus. But those who have not believed in Jesus are going to come up with all these reasons why they should be able to get in. And they're not going to be let in. Because they didn't believe. Listen to what Romans 1:20 says. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without what? Excuse. You cannot get to heaven and say, I didn't know you. I never heard the gospel. I never saw that you were there. How was I supposed to know about Jesus? Paul tells us, there is no excuse. Think about that. For since the creation of the world, not like just yesterday, not since Jesus was here, but since the world was created, back to Genesis 1, and up until the present and future, right now, as long as God allows it to go on, people can believe simply by looking around. In the verses prior to this in Romans 1, Paul is saying that man's without excuse. There's no reason. He can't point to anything that he could excuse himself from the gospel, from the truth that God wants relationship with mankind. God is God. And he can be seen in all things if people will choose to see him. I mean, if you really think about it, if you walk out the door today, actually, I don't think you can look around this room and say that there's no God. There are things in this room to point to God. First of all, there's all of us. Second, you look at some of the woodwork and the creativity of our God and how things are intricately put together. We didn't make these grains in this wood. He did. We've harnessed different things to be able to use it, like the electricity in this room. Man did not create electricity. God did. God is in all things. But we have to be willing to open our eyes to see them. And a lot of the world is just too busy with their minds closed. And they ignore him. All of creation cries out that there is evidence of a divine creator. And like I said, we in this room are part of his creation, both at birth and upon profession of faith. Because we know that when you profess faith in Christ, you are born again. So I would submit that people are part of God's creation in which he can be revealed to the world. You know, we've talked about this a little bit before, that DNA molecules link us together. And this DNA molecule is called lycopene, something like that. And this molecule is actually, if you put it under a microscope and magnify it, it is in the shape of a cross. and it holds you together. Without this link, you would fall apart literally. All of creation cries out to a divine creator. This wasn't discovered until fairly recently, within the last 50 years. But how many people are going to be able to look inside a person and see that divine link? How many people are going to be able to be persuaded because of something that's internal? No, I would submit that we need to be external and communicate how our lives have been changed. Isn't that what Paul did? He communicated. We saw that a little bit last week, how he communicated how his life had been transformed. And Paul was confident in that transformation. So when we live in this confidence, not only are we willing to share the gospel, but we are bold in it. Because we're rooted in it. We know where we've come from. Now let's just be honest. Relationships can be challenging, right?
Amen.
Especially when there's no security in those relationships. But with security, aren't we willing to take on any challenge that's thrown at us? I tell you right now that my life wouldn't be as it is if I didn't have a woman who stands beside me to carry me through it. Because she gives me security to take chances. She supports the decisions I make. She makes it easier for me to step out in faith because she's right there beside me. And that's the same is true in our relationship with God. When we're secure in it, we can step out in faith. We're more willing to boldly proclaim the gospel. So the question we got to ask ourselves this morning is, how secure are we in our relationship with God? How secure are we in who He is in our life? That He is a centerpiece. Not a decoration off to the side. Yeah, people can see Him in nature. We know that. But how much more convincing would it be if His creation is communicating the story of intersection with their lives? Think about that. How much more convincing is His creation communicating the story of intersection? We talked about that week one, about how God intersected with your life. That crash, that knock off the horse. And we start communicating that story. That's where we get to our final method of sharing the good news this morning. And that's how it intersects with our talk today. We start with God's plan. His plan for our life is found in a verse most of us all have memorized, I'm pretty sure. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Right? If you know that verse, you've got God's plan. And I encourage you that through this, you take these verses down and memorize them if you haven't already. Okay? Because this is powerful, a powerful way to communicate the gospel. Jesus is speaking here, remember, to Nicodemus, a Jewish leader in the church. He's speaking a truth that has stood for ages. And not only was it relevant then, but it's relevant today. This was done to demonstrate His love to the world and His road to a restored relationship with His creation. So once you're able to communicate that, then we can communicate the next step, which is income. You're like, yes, I'm on board. What's wrong? I'm talking about income. That's right. In God's economy, there is a response for our sins, right? We have earned something, and we can't ignore these two verses that we've seen in other methods of sharing the gospel, because they are the reason Jesus went to the cross. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And what is the wages? The income of that sin is death, Romans 6:23. That's your I, income. And there was only one way this could be fixed. That's our F. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, I have been healed. 1 Peter 2:24. It's fixed. through Jesus. Jesus went to the cross to free us from sin and to help us to die to our sin nature. That's what that verse says. And it goes on to say that once we die to that sin nature, then we live for the glory of God. He took the punishment we deserved, fixing the problem that we should die for our sins. Wow. And then last one. For this method, trust Christ. T. Yet to all who have received Him, to those who have believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. It's funny because John starts communicating this early on in his book. Before he tells the story of Jesus. Before the gift of God is presented. He starts telling about those who believe in Him. In the name of Jesus. He will call them His children. So now you can share this method. The message is the gift from God. And after you share this, you can ask the person, are you willing to do this, to believe that Jesus stepped into the gap to be your righteousness and make you acceptable before God? Now, this is actually how the Billy Graham Association recommends you share your faith. Okay? Yes. This gift idea, we took and kind of gave it an acronym, as we like to do, acrostic around here, because we like to do that. Because we think it's easier to remember things like that. So right now, in your toolbox, you have at least four different ways to share the message of Christ, right? Over the last 3 weeks, we've shared and practiced several ways to share our faith. On the screen you'll see in front of you is a list of some of these ways. We use light, right? Listen in the beginning. We're grabbed by the gospel and we're to share the gospel in that stage. Hone through transformation and trust and truth of Christ. The truth and trust of Christ. That's light. And then last week we talked about awake. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death. The agape love of God. And then we took our K and made it what it should be. He is the King, so we're going to call Him as Lord. And then we're going to express it with our mouth, and we're going to believe in our heart. And then the two we shared today, gospel and gift. So each of our messages was tied with an acrostic. But we didn't just stop at the acrostic. What we did was we rooted the acrostic with some detailed information so that you guys own it. So that when you go back and think about these things, hopefully the things that you heard, the things you took notes about, you can remember. Because the acrostic isn't just going to be enough. You have to study. You have to plan. You have to be ready to share the gospel. So our messages these past 3 weeks have not just been like, okay, Ron's just up here talking. We're giving you information to support these ways of giving the gospel. We also gave you, how many of you guys downloaded last week the video of Mr. Nice Guy? Put it on your phone. So you want to do that? Mr. Nice Guy, you can go. If you don't have a video, you don't have a smartphone, you can't do that. Okay, I get that. So you just have to memorize it. that's right. No, I'm not kidding. Or use one of these other acrostics, right? Also, I want to share with you, we have some apps. We found some apps for you guys to download that are really helpful in sharing your faith. And they'll help you communicate the gospel story, right? So the first one on the screen is the Share Your Faith app. And this app is got the basic story. You know how the cavern and how we're all going to go to die. The cross covers the cavern, right? That's the way. So this gives you the video about that and shows you how to share your faith through that. I can't remember exactly. But if you go to your app store or your Play Store and you type in Share Your Faith, you can download that app. I've got it on my phone. It's pretty good. It's just a standard app. Then there's the next one is called The Big Story. You go to the app store and type in Big Story. And The Big Story actually helps people to intersect with what's happening in the world today and how we are separated from God. This one's It's not one of my favorites. I didn't download this one, just be honest. If you want it, go check it out. See if you like it. But that wasn't one of my favorites. But this next one is very interesting. G7. You're thinking, G7, what is that, right? G7 is an awesome app. This app actually is interactive. And the person that you're speaking to can actually pick things on your phone. So make sure your phone's clean. Can pick things on your phone to go the next step. And at the end of this app, there's actually an opportunity for them to enter their email into this app, and the app will email them questions relevant to the conversation you just had with them. Wow. It's an interactive app, right? Not only that, but this app records these conversations and where they're happening all over the world. So it's responding back to the creators of the app, and you get to see how the gospel is working. So this is a really cool app. I really encourage you to go to the App Store and download this one, because I think it's going to be useful. And play with it a little bit. Don't just put it on your phone and go, yeah, I got it. Get these apps, put them on your phone, and mess around with them. Look, we spend plenty of time on Facebook and Twitter and whatever else playing games, right? So go to the App Store, check these things out, see if you can find a chance to use them. And they start with simple conversation. They're useful. So if you know the app, you're able to use it, right? Just like anything else. If you don't have a wrench and you don't know what it goes to or how it works, what good is it? I have a tool in my basement that my dad had. I have no idea how it works. I have no idea. I don't know what it does, but I've got it. Yeah, I won't get rid of it because it's useful. For something, right? It's a special tool. It was funny. One of my friends came over after my dad passed away, and there was this thing in there, and it's like, gosh, I should have brought it in today. It's got these pliers, and they open up the opposite way the pliers do. You squeeze it, spring loaded, and it goes like this. And I'm going, man, I have no idea. And he's got like six of them. And I'm going, what is this thing? And my friend goes, oh, man, that's the awesomest thing. You put it on a wire, and it splits the wire open in the middle. And I went, sweet, that's awesome. It was exciting. So when you got the right tool and you know how to use it, it's exciting. So I'm going to encourage you to go to the App Store, download one or both of these or all these apps, and just check them out. You can always delete them off your phone if you don't like them, but it's better to have them to be ready to share the gospel than you kind of stumbling around going, blah, 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 blah. You know, if you can't remember those acrostics, yeah, right? If you can't remember these acrostics, which we try to make them pretty easy, you know, if you can't remember them, then these apps will help you communicate the story of the gospel. And they're there to help you. People have designed these specifically for that reason. Now listen, I told you at the beginning that we're gonna wrap this all up, right? And there's three C's as to why we should share Jesus. Number one, we're created to do it. Not only was this world created to tell about God, but we were too. That was for week one. We were created to tell the story of how God intersected with our lives. Week two, care, our second C. I mean, who would we really want to perish? Who would we want to stand before that judgment seat and go, bah, 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 you know, I did this and I did that, when all they can really do is point to Jesus? If we care as we should, God loves, we are called to love, then we should be sharing the gospel. So we're created to do it. If we're caring, which we should be, we should care to do it because we care for His creation. And then the last thing is compelled. There's so many things that compel us. First off, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. That should compel us. As believers in Christ, we should be compelled by the great suffering He endured for us. But also we should be compelled by the words of Christ, who told us to go and teach, to go make disciples, to baptize them. He didn't say just, hey, just become a Christian and stay. He said, go. So we're compelled by Jesus' work on the cross and His command to us. So that's our three C's. So if you're struggling with why you should share the gospel or how to share the gospel, I want you to think about this. There's three C's that tie us back to God, that drive us to share the gospel. So when we get out next Saturday and you're thinking, I'm nervous about doing this, we got to remember these three C's. We're created to do it, so He's not going to leave us alone in it. We care for these people because they're going to hell without the gospel. They're definitely going to face judgment. And then we're compelled out of Christ's love for us and His command to us. So I want to wrap up with just one more verse. As Jesus was preparing the disciples for the mission that He had for them, He gave them opportunities to go out into the world and do what He taught them. We find an example of this in Luke 10, verses 2 through 3. He was just being born in Luke 2 there. Luke 10, 2 through 3. Actually, 3a. And He says these words. This is Jesus saying this. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. It means there's a lot out there to get. There's a lot in the fields. The fields are ripe. But I don't have a lot of people who are willing to go and get the harvest. They're not ready. So he doesn't stop there. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest. He's saying, ask God. If you aren't sure about this harvest, if you aren't sure where you're supposed to be, if you aren't sure who needs him, ask God. And he goes on to say, to send the workers out into his harvest field. In other words, he's going to send us where we need to go. And verse 3 starts off with the word, go. Go. Now, Jesus is not naive, because verse 3 tells them that they're being sent into the wolf's den. You are lambs among the wolves. They'll want to devour you. The world will want to eat you up. It's going to want to discourage you. But this comes back to the root of what we talked about in the beginning. Who is our security in?
Jesus.
Not the world. Amen. So if we have our security in him, we're able to clearly communicate the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So God, we thank you that you give us the responsibility and the opportunity to share your good news. Wow. It's so easy to get caught up in what other people think or how things fall apart. And we don't want to be disobedient. But yet there's this fear and this frustration with the reality of the life that we live. And sometimes we make excuses as to why we can't share your good news. So I want to pray over all who are hearing this message today that you give them the security of whose they are. That you give them a knowledge that far surpasses what they believe they have. That you'd give them wisdom and insight and the ability to remember the ways to communicate the gospel that we've talked about over the last several weeks, and maybe even more. That you would use these apps in a mighty way, not just with our church, but with all those who are using them. And God, you know, it says that we should come to you to know where to go. That's what we're doing. We're coming to you. We want to come to you. So would you put us in places where your gospel needs to be reached? You know, yesterday, so evident of that. We had a plan and you moved us. So we're asking God to bring the harvest, to do your mighty work that only you can do. And we're trusting you for that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.